stones coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the trees and destroy it, but the leaves, its stumps and roots in the earth beyond, with the band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of its fields. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him gaze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is his interpretation. O King, and his on his decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, they shall drive you from the men of your dwelling, shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat the grass like the ox. They shall wet you with the dew of the heaven, and the seven times shall pass over you, till you know the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and give it all to the wisdom of he chooses. And inasmuch as they give the command to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be a capital to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquity, by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps you may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon the king of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12th month, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, it is a great Babylon that I have built for the royal dwelling, by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, do you know it is spoken to the kingdom, has departed from you. And they shall drive you from the man, from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like the ox, as seven times shall pass over you, knowing that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives to whoever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the men and ate the grass like the ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like the eagle's feathers, and the nails were bird's claws. And in the end of the time, in Nebuchadnezzar had filled my eyes to the heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and blessed the Most High, and praised the honor him who had lived forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion, and the kingdom is from generation to generation, and his inheritance is on earth and repute as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and almost inheritance to the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the growing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority exists as the appointment of God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Did you get enough for me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Working all right? Yep. Right. Thank you very much, Pat. Mark's going to now come up and share a few thoughts.
Poor Pat got the longest reading I think we've had in for a long time from Daniel. I'm just going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word here this evening. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you this evening to open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from out of your word, and to hear wonderful things, Lord God, from your living and active word. We ask, Father, that you would give us the grace, Lord, please, not only to hear your word, but to do it, please. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth, Lord God, that it is. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who sheds light upon it, Lord God, and brings life from it to us. Lord, may we always be a people who love your word, who meditate upon it day and night, because in it, Lord God, we find life. life in its fullness through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Well, this is the last talk in our Shiloh at 6:30 series for September, and you know that we had the theme, What in the World's Happening? And from next week, our concentration is going to be on a new theme for October and November, and the title will be, And Now for the Good News. I'm sure Denise will be glad to hear that, because she said she thinks he's the only one who gets the good news. Me and Dave and Keith have been getting up and having to do all of these really difficult subjects. But when you think about our world, it's undoubtedly true that there is a lot going on in this world that possibly could or should affect us. So we've looked, for example, at the economic instability, and we're hearing on a weekly basis that we're moving from one financial crisis to another. In fact, somebody was telling me recently that they reckon by the end of September or the end of October, the whole financial system is going to collapse again. I thought, I just changed the currents. But that's how life is. It's from one financial, and it doesn't matter whether you're on the dole or whether you're a great business person. You're moving from one financial crisis to another. Finances are totally unstable. And of course, we looked at terrorism. And at the minute, when we think of terrorism, and it's a bit weird for people in Northern Ireland, but when we think of terrorism, like probably the rest of the world, we focus on ISIS, or as the Americans call them, ISIL. And we think that's the only terrorist organization that's happening in the world, but there's almost 200 designated terrorist groups, not counting even the ones that we would know here in Northern Ireland who pretend to have gone away. There's hundreds of designated terrorist groups, but at the minute, right in the fore of our minds because of media, is ISIS. And of course, we looked at the subject of immigration, and we just have to switch on our televisions, and we see scenes of adults and children fleeing for their lives from war-torn countries, and others mass migrating just to try to get, as was said this morning, but give a better life somewhere else. And each of these issues, economic instability, terrorism, immigration, each of these brings misery and sadness into people's lives. But tonight I want to briefly speak about one cause of many of the problems that we face today, and that is political instability. Whether it is in the Middle East, whether it is in Stormont, whether it is in Westminster, it doesn't matter where it is. Political instability is one cause of many problems in our world today. It is chiefly responsible for the issues that we've already looked at in September. Political instability is chiefly responsible for economic instability. It is chiefly responsible for terrorism. It is chiefly responsible for immigration. Financial crises occur when governments, for example, don't prevent banks from acting foolishly by handing out loans to companies or to people with little or no means of repaying. And it creates a crisis. Terrorism is partly attributed to political instability because people can be very unhappy at how a government runs a country. And so they oppose it and seek to overthrow its leaders using terrorism to try to get what they want. And of course, that lends itself to mass migration as people flee from war-torn countries like Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, Nigeria, and Sudan, etc., seeking to reach a safe country where they can live and raise their families. You see, apart from the obvious, lack of economic growth, lack of investment, increased inflation, unemployment, homelessness, strikes, demonstrations, and protests, political instability can create a vacuum easily exploited by those seeking change. The Romanian playwright Eugene Ionescu said, "No society has been able to abolish human sadness. No political system can deliver us from the pain of living, from our fear of death, our thirst for the absolute. It is the human condition that directs the social condition, not vice versa." So take our own political situation here in Northern Ireland. Church leaders representing both Protestant and Catholic faiths this week said, political instability is hurting the most vulnerable in society. The current instability at Stormont is bringing further anxiety to people struggling to cope on low incomes. Political instability hurts the most vulnerable in society and brings anxiety to those already struggling to cope. However, as UNESCO rightly says, no political system, no ideology, political ideology, can deliver us from the pain of living. It's the human condition that directs the social condition. In other words, we cannot rely upon mankind or human governments to solve the problems in society and the world at large. You see, the condition of every human is we are marred by sin and selfishness. And these dictate our social condition. And in our reading from Daniel chapter 4, verses 23 to 35, we heard how King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Daniel was called in to interpret the dream. And in his dream, King Nebuchadnezzar saw a watcher, I'm assuming that's an angel, come down and chop down a great tree. And Daniel said the dream was about King Nebuchadnezzar. And it spoke of how King Nebuchadnezzar would be cut down and made to live like an animal until he knew the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely assured that he would be restored and his kingdom returned to him once he realized heaven rules. And so it came to pass. Nebuchadnezzar went and lived like wild animals, eating grass. The hair on his body became, it was almost like feathers, until he humbled himself and recognized that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. Until he recognized heaven rules. And once he recognized, he blessed the Most High and praised him who lives forever. The Apostle Paul also tells us in Romans 13 verse 1, there is no authority. And be clear what God's word says here. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So those people in government, whether that be in Stormont, in Westminster, or leaders in every other nation, should, like Nebuchadnezzar, recognize that heaven rules. Governments, for example, that create political instability which leads to financial crises or terrorism or mass migration, hurting the most vulnerable in society and bringing further anxiety to people already struggling to cope, they will be held accountable by the one who appointed them, the Most High God. And left to our own human devices, we quickly learn we cannot rely upon human governments to solve the problems in society and the world at large. You see, although appointed by God, many in positions of government authority refuse to acknowledge God or his word. In fact, they seek to banish any mention of him or his word from the corridors of power. I wonder how often in the Labour Party conference you would hear the name of Jesus mentioned in the coming week, or in the week after. I wonder how often you would hear the name of Jesus mentioned in the Conservative Party conference. You see, although appointed by God, because there is no authority except from God, many in positions of government authority, police authority, all other forms of authority, refuse to acknowledge God or his word. In fact, they seek to banish any mention of him or his word from the corridors of power. And we shouldn't be shocked at that, because they ban him from our schools. They ban him from our universities. They ban him from every sphere in society where they can get away with doing it. Why? Because the very mention of the name of Jesus or the mention of the name of God makes people feel uncomfortable. Any government, nation, or authority that rejects God and his word will eventually lead to instability and potential unrest and upheaval, thus hurting the most vulnerable in society and bringing further anxiety to those already struggling to cope. It is the human condition that directs the social condition, and the human condition, the Bible says, is sinful. However, the answer to the human condition is found in Jesus, who came into this corrupt and politically unstable world. He came to die upon a cross to pay for mankind's sin. And people everywhere, whether they be in the governments and the corridors of power across the nations of this world, or whether they be people here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship tonight, people everywhere need to acknowledge God and his word and rely upon him, the Most High God, to govern our lives. Whether we are politicians, people of authority, or humble citizens, we must recognize our sinful, hell-deserving state and come to God through Jesus, his Son, so that we can receive forgiveness for our sin and find life by yielding our lives to God's will and to God's ways. See, heaven ruled in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and heaven still rules today. God is still enthroned over the nations. Even when we see the nations in an uproar, even when we see the nations coming against Israel, even when we see ISIS and financial crisis and disease and terrorism and all of the awful things that we see in this world, God is still enthroned over the nations and still rules in the kingdom of men. And we, therefore, need to pray for ourselves, knowing that there is forgiveness with God because of Jesus. We need to pray for ourselves and for those in authority that God's kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tonight, let me remind you, whatever you are going through in life, the Most High rules. Whatever you are facing at this time in your life, whatever decisions you may have to take, difficult decisions they may very well be, God rules over all. And when we come through Jesus to him and yield our lives to him and yield our circumstances to him and say, Lord, bring your godly reign into my life and into my circumstances, and forgive me for my sins and my unbelief, for I trust in you. God will move and do wonderful things because God loves you, because God loves us. So therefore tonight I would encourage anyone here, if you think you rule over your own life, well, hey, look at the mess you're making. God rules, and you can give it all over to him, and he'll take you by the hand and lead you in the right ways because he loves you. And it's possible for a holy and a righteous God to reach out to you tonight. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for us. Tonight I urge you, whatever is happening in your world, remember that God is in control. The Most High rules. Give it all over to him because he knows best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus tonight. We thank you that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We thank you that he came into this world and died to pay the price for our sins so that we could know you, a holy and a just God, and could come confidently into your holy presence, knowing that there is forgiveness with you because of Jesus. Father, we ask you tonight to come into our circumstances, to come into our lives, to come into every part, Lord God, of our being, and let your rule be extended there, Lord, please. We want no rebellion against you. We want no resistance to your will, for your ways are the very best ways. And with you there is life forevermore. Oh Lord, tonight we declare the Most High rules the kingdom of man. And you give it to whomever you will. And we pray for our own government and for the governments of this world, Almighty God, that they would recognize, like Nebuchadnezzar, that heaven rules, and that they would yield to you so that your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.